You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 11th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week and I am very pleased to say that we do have our very own Grandpa Dan back with us today after surgery. Grandpa, how are you doing and how are you feeling after surgery the other week?
Well, I'm soldiering on. It's, considering I look like something out of a horror movie, my leg looks like something out of a horror movie, like a horrible doll that's been all stitched together. But we're here. It's great to be here. I was going to try to soldier through last Friday and you showed the better judgment between the two of us. And we're like, you're probably not going to be able to feel like doing that, which was wound up being a really good call. But yeah, it's great to be back this week's fan.
Well, you certainly seem in high spirits, and I'm very, very glad that it's not causing you too much pain at the moment, at least anyway, so we can have a humorous look at our news for this week. More than 120 LGBT priests, teachers and church volunteers in Germany have launched an initiative Out in Church and demanded that Catholic higher-ups toss away their long-standing disdain for homosexual relationships and grant them greater freedoms within the church. Now, there is so much to get into here. I mean, first off, you've got lesbian, gay, bi and transgender priests, even though the Bible condemns that lifestyle. You've got them claiming that it's just the Catholic higher ups that have this long-standing disdain for homosexual relationships, as if it's nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with Christian teaching. And then you think, well, what are the greater freedoms that they are requesting within the church? I mean, they define themselves by their sexual activities. So what is it that they want greater freedom to do within the church? And when we think about it, the church itself, it's got an official standing on homosexuality. And they say that the actual homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. And this is the official statement from the Catholic Church. This is from Persona Humana, which was actually put out in 1975. They say, for according to the objective moral order, homosexual relations are acts which lack an essential and indispensable finality. In sacred scripture, they are condemned as a serious depravity and even presented as the sad consequence of rejecting God. This judgment of scripture does not, of course, permit us to conclude that all those who suffer from this anomaly are personally responsible for it, but it does attest to the fact that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered and can in no case be approved of. And that is based on Christian teaching. I mean, it says that it's a punishment for rejecting God, and yet somehow they've got people that have rejected God and been punished for it that are now priests in the church. And what have they done once they've got in the church, once the church has been good enough to ordain them as priests? Well, straight away, they want the church to give up on its Christian teaching, and they want freedom within the church to express their homosexuality, which means having homosexual sex. Basically, that's what homosexuality is. So they want to, I guess they don't really want to actually have sex in the church, but they want to express the fact that they do actually have homosexual sex in their actions with other members of the same sex, I should imagine. I mean, why can they not just say, well, okay, we've got this issue and we cannot control it, and we're very pleased that you've allowed us into the church. And just like all the other priests who don't flaunt their sexuality in church, we will not flaunt our sexuality in church either. But no, they want greater freedoms to do that. What do you make of all this, Grandpa?
Well, it's going to be really difficult for me to get through this story without just absolutely preaching here, and I'm going to do my best to avoid doing that, because people didn't tune in for a bunch of preachiness from yours truly. But it's going to be hard to avoid. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, how do you get to a point of 120 LGBT priests, teachers, and church volunteers? Where do you get to that point? The Apostle Paul says, I won't suffer a woman to even speak in church. He didn't even allow a woman to open her mouth in church. And now you get to the point where you have LGBT priests and teachers in a church. This is a failure of church leadership that's happened over, you know, many years, probably generations, to get to this point where you're this tolerance. And this is what happens. You get tolerance and inclusiveness and all of these things always bring, you become tolerant and inclusive of evil, and you cannot become tolerant and inclusive of wickedness. And that is obviously what has happened. And now it's so entrenched that these people feel emboldened. They want greater freedoms within the church. Well, to do what? Well, to do whatever they want to. And this also, I think, is reflective, and we'll get into it a little more as we go through here. I don't want to monologue the whole thing right here after the first paragraph. But this is also indicative of the failure of the church to focus too much on, you know, so, you know, yes, you're forgiven through Jesus Christ, but they always leave the part out of, you know, what is required on your part. You know, faith, your faith is demonstrated through repentance. Well, these people are completely unrepentant. They want to just keep doing whatever they're doing, but somehow get a free pass, you know, because, oh, Jesus, and I'm sorry, but that's not the way of the work. And like I say, I'm going to avoid monologuing after the first paragraph. We'll just keep going through this sludging through, wading through the swamp of this story. But yeah, this is this story kind of triggers me, to be honest, Sven.
Well, I do like the church's response to it, where they say that it's intrinsically disordered. And the reason for that is because there's no essential and indispensable finality to homosexuality. And I guess what they mean by that is that two homosexuals come together and they don't create a child. There's no finality to it. There's no continuation to it. You have the sacrament of marriage. Men and women are supposed to get together. They're supposed to create children. That is lacking from homosexuality. So they say that there is no intrinsic order to it. It is not in keeping with the natural order, and that's why they cannot condone it. I mean, it's completely logical, and they're not actually referring to really to Christian teaching there. Well, they are. They say it's a sad consequence of rejecting God, but there's also a logic to it, which these LGBTQ people just don't appear to get. The group said they want to be able to live and work openly as LGBTIQ plus persons in the church without fear, including to serve in all church occupations, even while in same-sex marriages or partnerships. They also urged the church to revise outdated statements on gender and sexuality, oppose all forms of discrimination, and allow LGBTQ persons to receive holy sacraments. The church should rectify a wrong by admitting its institutional history of guilt towards gay people, the group said in its list of demands published online. I mean, there's loads here that they are demanding, outdated statements. So the Bible is outdated now, is it? It relies on what we think in current year. It says they want the LGBTQ persons to receive holy sacraments. So marriage is a holy sacrament because a child is supposed to be produced at the end of it. I mean, are they claiming that homosexuals are going to be able to produce children without purchasing them from a surrogate mother in India or Mexico or however it is that they do this? I mean, what are these occupations that they are being held back from going into? And what is this live openly as LGBTQ persons in the church? I mean, they already are openly in the church as human beings. Why is it that their sexuality and their sexual activities have to be openly flaunted? That's That's what they mean here. They want to openly flaunt the fact that they are going against biblical teaching, turning biblical teaching on its head, in fact. And they're demanding that this be condoned by the priests, who traditionally were the people that would be turned to for help with this sort of thing. I mean, if somebody is a heterosexual and they just can't help themselves from sleeping around and having sex, I mean, they're going to go to the priest for help with that. And it's seen as being immoral to be sleeping around with lots of people. And yet they're saying, well, because we're homosexual and that's part of the homosexual lifestyle, that has to be accepted. We want to do that openly. Whereas the heterosexual people are encouraged to remain celibate and the priests are encouraged to remain celibate. So what they're saying here is that the heterosexuals have got to still remain celibate, but the homosexuals can do as much homosexual sex as they like, and the church just has to condone that and go along with it and ignore all the previous teachings. I mean, it's scandalous that they think that they should be able to do this. Just to actually say this and demand this just shows you just how entitled these people feel that they actually are. I mean, we know that this is what they're pushing towards, but I'm still sort of quite shocked to see all these demands that they're actually making of the church. And of course, this is in Germany. We've seen similar in Sweden, but amongst the Protestants, this is amongst the Roman Catholics. Grandpa, what do you think of their demands here?
You know, it's always worth pointing out what the plus stands for, and we all know what the plus stands for in that alphabet at the end of it. They're just not quite emboldened enough to go ahead and put it on there yet, but we'll get the P. We'll get to the P at some point. It always destroys these institutions. You know, you think of the Boy Scouts of America, and remember, they said for years, well, we need to have homosexual scout leaders. We need to allow that. They just want to be like everybody else. They just want to mentor these boys. Now the Boy Scouts of America is a bankrupt organization. Why? Because they let in homosexual scout leaders who immediately went to molesting the boys. This is, I mean, it's, you know, this is what you get. I mean, it's not like we don't have a pattern to go with here. What they're demanding, and as I said earlier, I'm really doing my best not to be too preachy here, but you can't really unpack this because this is satanic in nature. I do believe that as a Christian believer, this is satanic in nature, and you have to really kind of bear down on that. In Christianity, just for a quick version here, again, I'm trying not to be preachy, but in Christianity, what, you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ crucified. That is a Christian doctrine. Protestant, Catholic, doesn't matter. You know, your salvation is through Jesus Christ crucified. And faith in Christ. Your salvation comes through faith in Christ crucified. But you see, your faith is not just a bunch of words you say. It is deeds, it's actions, it is repentance. It means that you look at these things that are sinful, and now that you demonstrate your faith by repenting of them, by doing your best every day to turn away from those things. That's the Cliff Notes version, because like I say, we're not doing a sermon here. But what I wanted to get to by pointing that out is what they're doing right here, and what you just read, Sven, they're demanding that the church, it's an inversion, which is always satanic. It's an inversion. They're demanding that the church repent. They're demanding that the church repent for years past when they actually did hold up standards and say, yeah, no, you can't do that. They're demanding that the church repent of righteousness and truth and instead bow down to their lies, bow down to their wickedness. That is literally what they're demanding. And if the church, this is easy to handle. They make this big complicated. I hate it when the response, when stuff like this comes up and these churches respond with this, you know, well, you know, because of this and this. No, you respond by saying, oh, really? All of you right here on this list that have signed this or making this demand, this is the way y'all feel. Yes, this is the way we feel. Get out. You're fired. You're fired. You're excommunicated. Out. Well, wait a minute. You can't. No. Out. You cannot tolerate wickedness. You cannot tolerate. It's fine. Everybody is welcome to come and try to learn and accept Christ. But as soon as they come in and say, no, we don't. We just want the benefits. We just want the salvation. But we want to keep doing everything we've been doing. We want you to change for us. That's when you quit being tolerant and you say, get out. You're not welcome here. But don't you want us to be saved? No, I don't care. Go to hell. Get out. That's the line the church has got to be willing to hold. And all the churches, all the denominations, Protestant, Catholic, doesn't matter. They have refused over the decades to hold that line. They became more and more tolerant, more and more inclusive. And here's the end result you get. You have LGBT plus P, whatever the hell, lay people, teachers happening in the church. This is when you don't, this is what you get when you don't hold the line. The church has refused to hold the line. Now this is what you get. This is the end result. And what will happen when the church will probably bend to their demands, because this is what we see as a pattern. We will be shocked when the quote unquote, like we've had these sex scandals, they pedophile priests. No, homosexual priests, like 99.999% of those cases were all homosexual priests preying on young boys. They don't ever want to point that out. I wonder if that's going to get worse or better as they become more and more inclusive and accepting of all of this. It's not really hard to figure out.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? I mean, the Catholic Church over the last 50 years has got a name for pedophilia, and all the pedophilia victims, all the child abuse victims in the church have all been little boys. It's all been homosexual pedophile abuse, but then they don't call them homosexuals. They just refer to it as pedophile. I mean, really, what they should say here is, well, God has the final word, and what does God say about it? Because what you have here, essentially, you have man saying, we know better than God. We know better than the church. As you pointed out there, Grandpa, they're saying that the church should be repenting. The church should be asking us for forgiveness for the way that it is treated homosexuals and in the past, and they're not against homosexuals, they're just against this homosexual act, which they view as being intrinsically disordered because there is no finality to it. There is no actual purpose to it. It doesn't produce a child. It doesn't bring a man and a woman together with a view to producing a child. It is purely about indulging in passion and indulging in lust, basically. The Roman Catholic Church, under Pope Francis, has softened its stance on the issue of sexuality. Francis has made headlines by reaching out to priests and nuns who ministered to the LGBTQ community, declaring in 2020 that homosexual people have a right to be in a family. Well, it's not that they have a right to be in a family. I mean, everybody has their family. They don't have to have a right to be in a family. Everybody has a family. They all come from a mother and a father, even if they're in test tubes. What they're referring here to is he's saying that homosexuals have a right to access to children and to then claim that they are their children. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about homosexuals adopting children and then claiming that they are their own children. But that child has a mother and a father. The child cannot just have two fathers. I mean, they may do this test tube stuff. They may do this stuff with surrogate mothers, but it's still a male and a female that has to actually create them. And that's not a family. Two homosexual lovers together with an adopted child is not a family. The family of that child is the father and the mother. And, you know, I'm really quite taken aback, actually, that Pope Francis would do that and would actually say this. But that's what he's talking about here. I mean, everybody has a family. You don't have to have a right to have a family. It's just something that everybody is born with. What do you make of Pope Francis and what he has to say here, Grandpa?
You can spot Satanism because Jesus told us Satan is the father of lies and there's no truth in him. When you understand that Satan is the father of lies, you have to understand that he's really good at it. And he dresses it up to where you're not going to notice it right off the bat. And that final quote there, homosexual people have a right to be in a family. The evil lie, let me point out the lie in that statement. Homosexual people. Defining people as homosexual, this is who you are. And this is society-wide. This lie has been pressed society-wide. And that lie is that defines who you are. That defines who you are. They pass these laws here in the U.S. in certain places, you know, outlawing what they call conversion therapy. And all the conversion therapy is if somebody has been practicing homosexuality and they're like, man, my heart is rent with this. I don't like it. I want to find a way to overcome this, you know, repent of it. And churches would have programs and say, well, if you do, then we'll help you get through that. And they had success with that. They've outlawed that. Nobody was kidnapping these people out of the gay pride parade and forcing them to go through a program. These people voluntarily went to this because they wanted to turn it around. And the government said, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to identify yourself. This has to be what defines who you are. What defines, I would hate the idea that people should be defined by that which they struggle against. That is a horrible thing. We're talking about homosexuals and all of this other deviancy right here. But imagine everybody struggles with sin. Everybody struggles with sin. Can you imagine? And coming from the church, can you imagine if you were defined by that which you're struggling against? If you were defined who you are, if God defined you who you are by the sins you committed, that would be a terrible thing. It's like all the other good stuff you do doesn't count. You know, it's like all the effort you put in to overcome these sins and grow as a person and become a better person, none of that counts. This overall message that defines who you are and will always define who you are, and it's hopeless to try to change. So you don't want to repent. You don't want to turn away from that. It's hopeless because, see, you're born this way. This is who you are. You can't help it. You've got to instead embrace it, wallow in it, and whatever you do, don't try to do any better. That, I tell you what, like I said, the devil is good. He's a well-practiced liar. When you read a statement like that, it looks, if you first glance, oh, how tolerant, how inclusive. It's a lie. It's a lie intended to send people to hell. Here I go. I'm preaching. But it is. It's a lie because that shouldn't define who you are. It shouldn't define who you are. And yet, this reinforces that narrative that is being told to people that if you've been in this activity, if you've done this sort of thing, that's who you are. There's nothing that can undo it. And let me tell you, that is a lie.
Well, it is just really sad, isn't it, that they're reduced to taking their identity from an inversion of the sexual act. Instead of taking their identity as in people, they're homosexual people. Instead of taking their identity from their ethnicity or from their religion, that the primary factor of their identity is the fact that they engage in sexual activities which don't actually have a finality to them. They don't actually have a purpose to them. It's an inversion of the sexual act. If everybody was to behave like that, then everybody would die out. So it's intrinsically against the natural order. And they're being told here that they have to be defined by that. They cannot be defined by anything else that they do. They have to just be defined by their homosexuality, which I think is a really sad thing. I mean, it's just reducing them down, as you say, Grandpa, it's reducing them down to something which a lot of them struggle against. However, the pontiff clarified that same-sex partnerships should be a civil matter, and that the sacrament of marriage should remain between a man and a woman. In 2018, he called on gay priests to leave the church, saying it is better for them to leave the ministry or the consecrated life rather than to live a double life. And yes, that's very true. They shouldn't be leading a double life, but the sacrament of marriage can only remain between a man and a woman, unless you're going to redefine what consummating a marriage is and redefine it to sodomy. And that is not what the consummation of a marriage is. The consummation of a marriage is something that can lead to children. And that is always what a marriage was in ancient history. It's only in modern times that we have redefined marriage to mean the ceremony rather than to mean the consummation of the marriage. If you read in the Bible, they weren't exchanging rings and exchanging contracts. There's one point where somebody in the Bible gets given the wrong sister, and he just wakes up in the morning and he's married to her. And that wasn't because they had this big ceremony or what have you. It was because he consummated the marriage with this woman, the wrong sister. And then he had to do lots of work for 7 years to get the sister back that he actually wanted. And that's what marriage was. And it wasn't this big ceremony. And this is what the homosexuals want. They want to have a big ceremony, the same as heterosexuals do. And they particularly want to have them in the church. That's what this is about. And it's led to this redefining of what the word actually means. Moreover, despite rebellious priests in Germany and the US bucking the Vatican's orders and blessing same-sex unions, the Church's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the highest source of edicts on Catholic doctrine, declared last year that it is impossible for God to bless sin, referring to these unions of persons of the same sex. So it is not the same thing. What homosexuals do together is not the same thing as consummating the marriage. What do you think, Grandpa? I guess you agree with the Pope here that it is better for them to leave the ministry rather than lead a double life.
Well, I would ask the Pope, what the hell were they doing there in the first place? Again, we have to remember standards are set. I said it at the opening of the show. The Apostle Paul said he wouldn't even allow a woman to speak in church. So you don't get from women aren't allowed to even open their mouths in church to, oh, hey, you know what? Homosexual teachers and preachers, y'all just probably it'd be better off for you just to leave. How the hell did they get there in the first place? And I think that's a question, honestly, that should be asked, and I think there should be reflection and answer on. I think you touched on something really good there, Sven, in pointing out that marriage in a biblical sense doesn't even exist today. I mean, you know, these unions, and you know, when we talk about marriage in the Bible, you know, the government wasn't involved at all. There was no involvement of the government at all. Well, now marriage is more or less nothing more than a legal contract, which is blessed by the government, and the church is basically just a window decoration, and that's it. That's just the reality of what it is. So then, as a result of that, you wind up with all of this basically political nonsense. Is this trying to push the agenda of the world into this? And of course, they want it in the church because it's satanic. I mean, That's the whole point. I mean, they can go down since marriage has now been reduced to nothing more than something that a poorly defined contract issued by the state. You know, they can go down now and they can, quote unquote, get married. So why the determination to have the ceremonies and push all of it into the church? Well, because it's satanic in nature. It always comes back to a spiritual battle. That's why I say all of these things we struggle against, all these things. If you don't understand, and I really do believe this, if you don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, you're really missing the whole plot, the whole point, because things don't make sense. You say, well, why do they have to put it in the church? Well, because it's at the very core of it, it's satanic in nature. It's coming from the devil, and he's got to attack the church. He wants to invert, corrupt, and destroy the church. And quite sadly, he's had quite a bit of luck with that.
Well, man cleaves to the woman, and they become one flesh, and that's what marriage is. I mean, lawful marriage is with bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So, according to the Bible, it's not even lawful for different races to get married, let alone for two men to get together and have a simulation of the marriage act, and then claim that they are married. I mean, I don't understand why these homosexuals think that what they're actually doing is marriage. I mean, surely they must be educated, surely there must be learned men amongst them that understand this, and they must know that they're lying to themselves to actually claim that that they are married. It's just this modern idea of this ceremony. That's all that it is. And if that's what they want, then why can't they do as the Pope says, and why can't they just leave it as a civil matter? Francis sided with the congregation's ruling, stating that it was not intended to be a form of unjust discrimination, but rather a reminder of the truth of the liturgical rite of heterosexual marriage. So they're not trying to discriminate against gay people. I mean, it's not possible for two men to engage in the liturgical rite of marriage. It's just not a possible thing to do. So it's like, fish can't fly, or like cows can't fly, pigs can't fly. You know, two men cannot together consummate a marriage. It's not that they're being discriminated against. It's just a fact of reality. And they're not being discriminated against because they could get married if they wanted. It's just that they would have to do that with a female. And the end result of that is supposed to be a child. I think even in the past, if you got married and the wife didn't actually produce a child for you, then the marriage was seen as annulled, and you could go and get yourself another wife, because that was seen as the whole point of marriage, was to produce children. Now that we've divorced sex from producing children, and we've said that it is all just about indulging in pleasure, then it becomes the point of it can be anything at all. I mean, it could be with your pet, it could be with an inanimate object. It could be with somebody of the same gender, because we've divorced the end result of the action from the action itself. And that's what they're talking about here when they say it's intrinsically disordered and it doesn't actually have an end result. I mean, they've thought this through very carefully, and they gave that out in 1975, and it still stands to this day. I mean, that's why I wanted to bring it up here. But Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this anyway?
Well, the final message here is this is what happens when you don't hold the line. I mean, this statement from Pope Francis is so, pun intended, is so defensive and gay, you know, not intended as to be a form of unjust discrimination. Look, you know, it's a defensive position. You can't be, if you're holding the line of what is right, if you're holding the line of truth, you don't care. You don't care if you shouldn't care if they say, oh, that's discrimination. I don't care what you call it. Well, that's not fair. I don't care. Get out. As I said earlier in the show, we're talking about this. This is easily handled. These people come forward. They make these demands. They should be immediately excommunicated from the church, kicked out. You're out of here. If people want to come and they want to repent and they want help in their repentance and they want to start a spiritual journey and make an example of their faith by how they act and how they live and how they try to better themselves, regardless of what they've done in the past, by all means, that's the church's job to help them do that. But as soon as they start making demands that, no, I should be able to do whatever I want, and it's you who needs to change, those people need to be expelled. They need to be kicked out. You know, don't worry about, oh, they're going to accuse us of discrimination. They're going to accuse us of being whatever phobe. They're going to accuse us. You don't care. You simply hold the line. You defend the gates. You remember, the shepherd's job is to defend the flock. You know, Jesus put these people, or supposed to put these people in charge to defend the flock against the wolves. That's your job. You got one job. And that's it. You're supposed to defend the flock. You're supposed to nurture the flock, take care of the flock. That's your job. And one of those things is to defend the flock. But see, they're afraid of the world. They want acceptance of the world. So they run around and make these apologies. Well, we don't want to be accused of this. We don't want to be discriminatory. How could we discriminate against the wolves? Let the wolves in and let them run amok amongst the sheep. It's disgusting. It's a failure. And with this apologetic, defensive sort of response, things aren't looking good for the future, because we know all of this stuff, it keeps moving in the same direction. Are they going to suddenly start holding the line now? I mean, yeah, they're kind of sort of half-heartedly holding it, but you can see where they're setting it up. We're down the road. They're going to say, oh, yeah, no, we were wrong all along. Let's do just like the whole rest of the world, and let's just go along with the new modern narrative as they throw all the traditions and all the righteousness and all the truth out the window. And of course, all of that leads everybody to the same end result of condemnation. I am done preaching, Sven.
Well, all they really have to do, I mean, just point out the terms of service, isn't it? You know, well, you can't break the terms of service. It's God that instituted the terms of service. They're all right there in the Bible. If you want to overturn them, then basically you have to go and create your own church. You can't come here and try to overturn 2,000 years worth of tradition, but it seems that none of them have got the courage to actually say that. We can only live in hope that one day more priests will actually speak up and remind them of the truth and hopefully put the church right back to how it should be. Well, thank you very much for coming on today anyway, Grandpa, and thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.